Before we start our episode today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about our favorite Needed. Needed isn't just for moms. They've created an incredible supplement to support dads too. From a men's multi, sperm support, to omega-3s, and CoQ10, Needed takes a whole body approach to men's fertility and health. Learn more at thisisneeded.com, and don't forget, our community gets 20% off your first order with code VBACK.
Hey everybody, we have our friend Trish today, which I'm so excited. You guys, Trish is from Labor Nurse Mama. I am sure that you have heard of her before. She is absolutely incredible. She also runs the podcast, The Birth Experience. We love this podcast and we were so honored to have been a guest on her podcast. And now we have her on ours. A little bit more about Trish. Trish has been a labor and delivery nurse for 15 years, which means she's seen a lot. Over the years, she traveled with the most prestigious facilities in the country. She's worked with top physicians and delivered countless babies. But her true passion is teaching you how to make informed choices on your own birth experience so you can write the birth story of your dreams, which connects with me so much because that is exactly what I think so many of us in the birth world are wanting to do. We want you to have a good birth experience and to be able to write a positive birth story. She believes that every mama should understand exactly how birth works, what decisions you'll be faced with in the labor room, and how to make things safer and smoother for you and your baby. She's absolutely incredible, and I'm so stinking tickled to have her on the show today. I feel like we could have chatted for so long, because we just have so many of the same passions and desires to help you women of strength. So join us today after the intro with Trish.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBACK Link podcast. I am a VBACK after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBACK educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBACK, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
All right, my love, welcome to the show. It is such an honor to have you here. Like, and I really, really, really mean that. It's so great. You are just amazing and such an inspiration to the birth community all around, not just people giving birth, but people supporting people giving birth. So I'm really, really excited to talk with you today and dive into the anxieties surrounding birth. This is one that I personally see in our community daily because VBACK in general comes with a lot of anxieties. There's a lot of things that we have to do, right? We have to find the provider. We have to decide if we want a doula and then find the doula. We have to learn the risks and the pros and the cons and the birthing space. And there's so many things. So I feel like the anxiety around birth is already a lot. And then we add VBACK and all the other things. It can be a lot more. So I think just number one, I want to talk about what is anxiety and how does that sometimes creep in in birth?
I love this so much. And you're so right. And it's so maddening that not only VBACK women are giving birth. They're just like everyone else. They're giving birth.
Yep.
But they do have this extra added, I call it roadblocks. And not only do they have to choose the right provider, then they have to decipher after choosing the right provider, is this provider actually supporting my VBACK or just fluffing it up? And they're going to end up wanting me to have a C-section anyway. So it is. And plus they have that added anxiety because for most of them, you and I both know that most first-time moms go into birth thinking that, being armed with education and knowledge is like mm-hmm. That's nice. That would be nice to have, but it's not a necessity. So mm-hmm. they're carrying in a lot of trauma and guilt, and then like a need to do it right and a need yes. to trust their body. So yes. when you say, what is anxiety? That's a really hard thing to answer, because I think it rears its ugly head differently for all of us. Mm-hmm. But the root of anxiety is fear. And fear really is based on, and this is my thing, you guys, because I'm obsessed with mindset strategies. I am a Christian. I'm also obsessed with prayer, but I do believe in mindset and manifestation. And all of that anxiety really boils down to, what are you saying to yourself? Mm-hmm. What is happening up here? And this is whether it's birth, whether it's business, whatever, life, parenting, marriage, making choices. So one of the things I really love to do, and inside of our course, we call it the trauma debrief. And I have it in both of my courses, because I have a lot of women who come to me with their second, third, fourth, fifth baby. And they're like, I am not doing it the same way again. But we walk through, what are they saying to themselves? Like, what are you saying in the middle of the night? What are you thinking? So I like to dig deeper. So if she's like really scared or anxious about one specific thing, let's dig into what's happening up here. And then let's find the truth of it. And then let's find out, what can you control when it comes to that fear? And a lot of times the fear and anxiety is really rooted in nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you said that. A lot of the times it's rooted in nothing. But what you were saying up here, if we say it enough that we believe it, it becomes something, because it was created. I mean, yeah. I was told two things. Well, I was told a lot of things, but I was told two things that really stuck with me. One, that I'd never get a baby out of my pelvis. And so I was told that, and I started to question myself and my own ability and my capability of getting a baby out of my pelvis.
Like, of course you did, because an expert told you that.
Yes. Yes.
Someone who went to school, who knows what they're talking about.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I was told that. And then in my repeat cesarean, I was told it was such a good thing that I didn't have a VBAC, because I for sure would have ruptured. For sure would have ruptured. Those were the exact words. And so I had
roll my eyes.
I know. I know. But I also know I'm not the only one. Like, I am not the only mama out there who has been told things that then tells ourselves in our brains, and then we somehow start believing them. And then we have this fear of not getting our baby out of our pelvis or uterine rupture, even though when you dive into the stats, like, uterine rupture, yes, true. It happens, but it's very, it's a lower risk. And babies come out of pelvises all the time. Like, my pelvis wasn't really too small, well, right?
Here is a insider take on that. As a 16-year high-risk labor and delivery nurse, a lot of that stuff that's said is BS. And it's said to, and I don't think that these providers are evil, but no. I think subconsciously they say these things to justify the decisions they made.
Yep. Yep.
And I can't tell you how many C-sections I've done for, and I'm putting in quotes, big babies, where when the baby comes out, we're all like, that is not a big baby. And then the doctor will say something like, oh, well, you would have never gotten this baby through your pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sir. We all know you're full of shit right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing, is like, those things are being said. And they do. I've said this on the podcast before. I don't believe that anyone has true ill intent. And maybe they do, but I like to look at people as overall.
Some, but yeah. Not all.
And yeah. I like to look at people as overall good people with good heart and good intent. It's just like a positive way that I like to look at life. Yes, there's probably some people that have ulterior motives, yeah. But a lot of the times they're saying these things, and I do believe
that they say those things to justify their suggestion or what they said or validate themselves.
Which we as human tend to do.
Which yeah. we do, but yeah. they don't think about how it impacts the mom.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And the truth of the matter is, in my opinion, and what I tell my students is that the only thing that should tell you if your baby can't come through your pelvis is your pelvis. Otherwise, trust it. Your body yeah. made this baby. And it's really been over the course of my career, I've seen like a circle and different trends and different things. And, you know, the truth of the matter is these OBs are trained to be surgeons. They're mm-hmm. trained to intervene. They're trained to see the need for them. Mm-hmm. They're not trained in the natural process of birth. And when I started my career, I was scared to death of VBACs. I have been taught yeah. how freaking dangerous they were. At the time, the doctor had to be in the hospital at bedside the entire birth. Well, you better believe mm-hmm. they do not want to do that.
No, of course they don't.
It was like a taboo, and I was literally taught, now you guys, this was almost 20 years ago, mind you, I was literally taught once a C-section, always a C-section, and I believed that for a very small fraction of my career, mm-hmm. and then I didn't.
And then you didn't.
And then I was like, why? I'm questioning everything at this point, you know, because it was like, mm-hmm. who the hell said that?
Yeah. Well, Edward Cragen said that a long time ago. And he,
what he said
was twisted. Okay. So that's another thing. It's twisted. Yeah. And then these things are twisted. And then we have these anxieties that are created out of nothing. Like that yeah. actually wasn't a thing.
Someone said it. Someone twisted it. Someone twisted it a little more. Yep. And now it's taken as fact.
Exactly.
And millions of women were affected because of it.
And still are. Mm-hmm. Every single day. So we've got these anxieties that a lot of the time are created around nothing. So how mm-hmm. do we dive into that?
That's and easy.
Navigate the anxiety?
That's easy because we are in control of mm-hmm. what we're thinking. Love we it. Are in control of replacing the soundtrack that is repeating itself in our heads. Yes. We are not taught that we're in control. We are taught that when you get anxious, you freak out and here, you know, take a medication or drink a drink or whatever it is, you know, not my pregnant ladies, please. I am not saying that. But that's how we're taught to deal with anxiety. We're taught that we have to go to therapy for 20 years. We're taught that we have to do all these things. And this is part of my framework inside of Labor Nurse Mama, part of my framework in life with my children, with my marriage, everything. It's a three part. So you have three legs to this stool of walking into your birth. Okay. You've got the knowledge. You have to have the knowledge. And I tell my students, I tell my followers, I tell anyone I can scream it to, if you don't know your options, you don't have any, period.
Yes. Yeah.
Period. You will, someone else will make the decisions for you because in the moment, your only job is to labor, number one, and you're not going to feel like making all these decisions. So if you mm-hmm. don't have a knowledge base, you're going to go with me, which I may not do what you would do. So mm-hmm. you didn't have an option. So you have to have your knowledge, and knowledge without the right mindset strategies and without the willingness to open up your mouth and speak is nothing. The other leg to that stool is mindset strategies. So a huge part of my program, and this is like I was telling you before, I coach business owners as well. Mindset is literally the root of all things. Mm-hmm. And you can change it. You can. Yeah. So yes, the doctor plants that in your mind, but you get a choice on whether or not it takes root. You yes. get the choice on pulling the roots out and getting rid of it, because science shows that what we tell ourselves, we manifest. So if you spend your entire pregnancy
thinking, oh my God, it's going to be horrible. And I'm probably going to end up in a C-section again anyway. And they're probably going to do what they want. They're not going to listen to me. Guess what? That is what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you start flipping that voice and saying things like, I'm scared, I'm worried, but I'm in control. I get to choose. I will arm myself with the knowledge. I will arm myself with a support system, and I will walk into my birth and I will own the room. And every time that anxiety comes up, flip it to someone else, something else, put the affirmations around the house, put them in your car. I mean, I have them on my phone as a screen for things that I'm facing personally. So the mindset strategies is the second level, because you could have really great mindset strategies, but if you don't have knowledge, you're still going to fall.
Yeah.
And then the third part is learning how to speak up for yourself, because let's also face the fact that we as women are taught to agree and to not speak up. We as a society are taught to not question authority. Well, I'm sorry, but a sign of intelligence is asking questions. This is, I homeschool my kids. This is what I've always told them, even though it gets on my nerves at times. I don't always want all the 5 million questions. We all have that child. You know what I'm talking about. But if you know all the things and you're solid in your mindset, but then you get into it and you're not willing to speak up and say no or question or stop whatever's going on, then knowledge isn't power. And it always bothers me when people are like, knowledge is power. Yes, it's power if you use it.
If you use it.
If it's applied. So you have to have all three of those. But the simple answer is choose to think otherwise. Choose to say no to that thought. And you can verbally outside say no. So like, for instance, you know, my husband and I were just having this conversation. Like, if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm always late. Stop saying that to yourself. Say, I'm the type of person who arrives on time. I'm the type of person, because we're programming ourselves
to be late.
That and to be late. Yeah. And if you tell yourself, my hips are too small, like my doctor said, my hips are too small. What if they're too small? They're too small. And you're thinking that all the time. You're going to do things during your birth and make that happen, you know. But if instead you're like, hell no, my hips are not too small, I've got perfect hips for this baby, period. You know,
so I love that you're pointing that out, because I mean, thinking back, even just in not even just birth, but just all things in life, even my mom, like my mom was always late, like how you were saying, and she would always say that you just have to know I'm gonna be late, but why? But why did you have to be late, right?
Yeah.
And just flip that and change the narrative, change that narrative that is trying, you know, has been placed in. And like you said, rooted, I think it was so important to talk that out. Like you can pull those roots out and you can plant a new seed and root a new plant. It doesn't
in charge of that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be your fate. I have a mom who is a soccer mom. My daughter is a soccer player. And she was, you know, getting to know me, and I was getting to know her, and we were talking about what we do. And I was talking about VBAC
in real life.
In real life. Yes.
Yeah, I love when that happens.
Yes. It was so awesome. And we were like, you know, chatting, and she was like, wow, like that's so fascinating. Like I couldn't have done that. And I was like, well, why couldn't you have done that? Cause she's had 3 cesareans. She said, well, I just couldn't physically do that. Like my body couldn't go into labor. And because my body couldn't go into labor, I had to have a C-section. She never even had a trial of labor. She was scheduled a cesarean. For the first two. Scheduled. All 3 scheduled. And And
that's frustrating.
It is frustrating. He was like, yeah, you're not going into labor. And she was like almost 41 weeks. And she's like, yeah, I just really want to have this baby. And he's like, your body just doesn't work the way others does. And she's telling me these things. My body just doesn't work the way other people's really does. And I'm like,
how did you handle that diplomatically?
Oh, do you know, this is one of the most challenging things for me, because I'm like, what? I don't want to like
project if it's not a space that's welcome to be projected in.
It's a done deal. You also don't want her to question herself at this point.
Either. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want her to go back.
To your podcast.
And I know. Sorry, Elizabeth.
Yeah. We love you anyway.
Yes. And I do. Yeah. And we did talk about this. So, you know, talking about like, you know, I don't want her to feel bad for making the choices that she made or whatever, but we did. I just kind of said, honestly, this is a lot of the reason why I do what I do is to help people know the other side of the option. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I didn't even know that there were other options. I'm like, I know. And this is literally why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And that is absolutely 100% opposite of informed consent.
Yes. I mean, it was.
These doctors are telling you the risk, the benefits of a repeat C-section, they should be doing the same about a VBAC.
Period. Oh yeah.
Well, otherwise, and why are we not informed?
Exactly. And why are we scheduling a cesarean for the first baby just because we're almost 41 weeks? That's right. But lots of things happening. And this is in 2013. This is not that. Yeah. I mean, it's a long time ago, but not that long ago.
I've delivered those patients. I've been a circulating nurse. You know, I had so we have a thing we call our pregnancy happy hour. And it's like a hangout on Zoom. We meet three times a month with our students. And we had a student one time who told us that her doctor, and I'm not kidding you, told her that everyone has to be induced because no one actually goes into labor.
I'm just like,
how can you even say that? There's so much proof to the contrary. Like, do you not think she's going to figure that one out?
Right.
We were all just like blown away. I also had a doctor one time come into my student's room, pick up her birth plan, rip it in half and say, those are a joke. Oh, you don't need that. Yeah. What? Yeah. I know.
Oh my gosh. See, I have so many frustrations.
Like fired.
Yeah. Run away. Run away.
I teach my students how to fire. If any of you guys are listening, if your provider is doing something that makes you uncomfortable or more anxious or dismissed during your birth, you have a right to fire them. And the hospital has an obligation to provide you with a provider. You don't have to even worry about it. They will get you a provider and they will be kissing your ass at that point because they care about their ratings.
Yeah. Well, and that, yeah, like even in labor, like if something is happening like that, you can just say, I don't want you in my room anymore. And that's, you know, going back to do the back work of really finding the provider beforehand. But like you were saying, providers can be all hunky-dory on board. And then the day it comes. Weeks. Yeah. I mean, that's how my provider was, right? Like you need to wake up and smell the coffee. It's not going to happen. And it's like, what, you know, like, what do you mean it's not going to happen? And like, you're not helping me make this happen. But going back to my friend, what I thought was so interesting is that she's already told her 11-year-old daughter that she will have to have C-sections more than likely because she is so much like her that she probably won't go into labor naturally.
I
know.
So one of the things I cover in my free classes and my paid classes is limiting beliefs. And when you were saying that before, and I said, you don't want to make her feel bad, in my head, I was thinking, but we have to stop her from carrying, like throwing that torch towards the other generations, because that is a huge problem. And a lot of my students come to me and they're like, well, I want to do your class and I really want to try, but all the women in my family have had C-sections or none of the women in my family went into labor on their own. They all had to be induced. And I'm like, there's a pattern there, but it's not your family.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's so wild. So it's definitely difficult, you guys. I know, or it seems daunting. Let's say it's not difficult. It feels difficult to change, flip it around, change that seed, rip out the root, plant a new seed, and have positive affirmation and belief and getting rid of those anxieties. Now, what about those little anxieties that maybe aren't so placed in our mind along the way that are deeper, but like the little ones, like I'm trying to think of what's coming up, you know, kind of really going into like our due date. We're at your due date and you know, you're not really dilated and you're not really effaced. So I'm not really sure if this is going to happen. And you're a VBAC. So, you know, you can't be induced in too many ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what about navigating that anxiety?
So
same thing.
I feel like it's the same thing, and it mm-hmm. all goes back to, so I encourage my students, because they'll all be like, when, you know, how far along do I need to be before I join your classes? And I try to get them to join as soon as possible, because I've mm-hmm. seen a huge difference in my moms who join me earlier and come to our pregnancy happy hour, because mm-hmm. what happens for them is they get to see Sally down here. I always say Sally when I make up a name. I don't know why. I don't even know a Sally. But
I have done that too. Sally Joe, I say. Yeah, anime. I
yeah. So Sally, you know, is 32 weeks and she just went to the doctor and her doctor's dropping big baby. So Mandy over here, who's 8 weeks, is hearing how Sally handled that. Then we've got Christy who handles something. And so she's seeing that. And she's watching the recordings and she's hearing us navigate that. And what's really powerful is each of them have such different personalities. So mm-hmm. Sandy may not relate to my very outspoken, bold personality, but she really relates to Sally, who's timid and has never spoken up to authority, but finds the strength to do it and to ask it. And I teach them to do it in a respectful, polite, conversational way. But also I was just interviewed for another podcast and she was like, if one of your students gets to the hospital, they're in labor and they don't want a cervical exam and they tell them they have to do a cervical exam to get admitted, what would you tell her to say? And I said, no. She's like, but what would she say to explain it? And I was like, she doesn't have to explain it. No is no. And the truth is and my students know as much as I know as a labor nurse, they cannot send you home. If it's a question that you're in labor, they have to stabilize you. So you don't have to do what you don't want to do, but you do have to understand what you're refusing. So, I mean, if you're being induced, you're going to have a cervical exam. We have to titrate the medicine. We have to make decisions. But when it comes to these VBAC moms, they have to lay a foundation of trust in their body mm-hmm. and an understanding that these providers are people. They're not God. And what they say does not trump what the mom says.
Yes.
And they have to just trust their body. And this is why we have like the birth debrief in our classes, is because we break about, like, I can sit down with someone and almost pinpoint where they got bamboozled and why mm-hmm. they ended up in the OR. And it damn well mostly is not their body. So mm-hmm. being able to break that apart and see where the different things started breaking down that ended up there, then they can navigate it differently. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about it, for all of you guys listening, there is nobody anywhere, before we had inductions and C-sections, there's no women anywhere that are still pregnant. Eventually, your baby will exit your body, right? And we mm-hmm. want to be healthy. So if my girls go past their due dates, I'm a high-risk labor and delivery nurse, okay? So everybody says I'm crunchy with a side of medical. I do want you going in, getting your NSTs and your BPPs, because anxiety works against labor. And when you're anxious, when adrenaline is flowing, oxytocin just won't. And our bodies are made perfectly that way so that we can mm-hmm. protect ourselves. But if they go past their due date willy-nilly and they don't know what's going on and they're just fighting their provider and saying no, they're going to be a wreck. So mm-hmm. go ahead, get the baby checked, go do the NST, and then realize that even though your baby passes with flying colors, has an 8 out of 8, they're still going to say you should induce yourself. Yeah. And what I recommend is say, okay, print the studies for me. I'll take them home. I'll go over them at home and I'll let you know my answer. You don't have to say anything right then.
Nope.
On the flip side, if mom is really, really anxious and worried and an induction feels the right answer for her, then we support that too.
Right.
because it's really about what she wants, not what any of us want, not me, not you, not the providers. It's about her making the right decision that makes her feel like, hell yeah. I always tell them, if it's a, I don't know, then it's probably a no right now. Mm-hmm. If it's a hell yes, it's a hell yes. Go for it. You know? So,
yeah. I love that you pointed that out to my clients. I usually say, try to navigate what is creating the decision. Is it anxiety and pressure from the outside world? Or is it your gut saying that's what you want to do? So it's kind of in that like, hell yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know because I don't know exactly why they're saying this, or they're saying a lot of big, scary things.
Yeah.
That it makes me feel anxious. Yep. Yeah. So really tune in. And I love you pointing out, like, take a minute, like say, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to think about it. Because when we're right there in the moment, I think that anxiety is so strong and it's hard to let go of it, even if we want to.
Well, and we're trained to be people pleasers.
Yes, we are.
But not pleasing ourselves.
Yeah. And when we're in labor, when we're getting, you know, in the labor world, or when we're facing a possible induction, we're thinking about our baby. We're thinking about the health of our, you know, all, there's so much more. And so navigating that can be difficult, and removing ourselves from that space can be really powerful. And if at the end you're saying, hell yes, go back, do that. If you're still saying, oh, I don't know, should I? Then it's probably not right. Having a strong immune system is important, and it can be challenging during these colder months. I found it's hard to find something with clean ingredients that tastes good and doesn't have added sugar. Let me tell you, I can confidently say that I have found it. You guys don't have to look any further. I'm so excited. I highly recommend checking out Needed's Immune Support. Every ingredient is vetted by experts, and it not only includes exactly what you need, but also includes gut health support, which is pretty stinking cool. Did you know that 70% of your immune system resides in your gut? My entire family loves the immune support from Needed, and I bet yours will too. Try it today and get 20% off with the code VBACK. Find the immune support and so much more at thisisneeded.com, and don't forget to use code VBACK for 20% off your first order. All right, let's dive back into today's show. I wanted to really quick, before we go, talk a little bit on partners. Because partners, one, can be anxious. And then sometimes we as women can make decisions based off of our husbands or partners being anxious, which is a tricky one for me. Because I'm like, that's not what we should be doing, in my opinion. I don't think we should be making decisions on other people's anxieties. Because it's the same thing with our provider. If they're anxious because you're 41 weeks, even though you have a flying color NST, right? But also, how do those partners support the mom who is anxious?
Well, number one, they have to be as educated as she is. They have to go through the courses with her. I created a class that they get free called the Birth Coach Class, because I have raised 4 young men. So if we're talking about male partners, I know what they need. Mm-hmm. And I've been in thousands of deliveries and watched. Right. Partners who have not been educated, they're like deer in the headlights, you know? So I just had this conversation on a free class that I did. If your partner is not on the same page as you. So number one, when you're in labor, your only job is to labor. That's when your partner has to step forward and be the advocate. Well, mm-hmm. if they don't know why you're refusing to have, let's say, an IV, or you're refusing to do this, to them, it's going to look crazy because they're still programmed that the doctor knows best.
Yes.
So you have to have them walk through the courses with you. They have to be as educated as you are, because the truth is, things are going to be said that sound outrageous. They are outrageous. I've heard them thousands of times over the course of my career. Things like, well, you don't want a dead baby, do you? Well, oh, no, gosh. We don't want a dead baby. Is that not obvious? That's why we got pregnant.
Duh.
We're here. Yeah. But when a doctor says that to someone who doesn't know, that is a common thing to be said. Mm-hmm. They're going to now look at you and be like, what the hell? Let's go to the OR. So they have to be ready for that. My very first VBAC lab student. So when I created the VBAC lab, I put out a little feelers for 15 founding members. And my very first VBAC birth was a mama. She went in, second baby, literally the first baby was a failure to progress. Of course, there was literally no reason for a C-section. She goes in, she's in labor, spontaneous labor, mind you, but she's not going fast enough to be according to the freaking rules, right?
Yeah.
And so her doctor, who they loved, and I had already prepared them for this, thank God, the doctor comes in, puts her stool next to the bed and it's like, you know, you've been going at it all day. You're exhausted. Baby's getting exhausted. We just don't want this to be an emergency situation. I really think we need to talk about, I literally could play this role in a movie because I've heard it so many times. We need to talk about a cesarean. And her husband, who had taken the birth coach class, who had been a lot of my guys are in the background during the, so we have the VBAC happy hour as well once a month. And a lot of them are in the background listening to me. So he leaned in and he was like, Trish said that we could, you know, take time to think or whatever. And he was like, we're doing this your way. And I kid you not, she delivered that baby like 30 minutes later, vaginally, unmedicated. And if they had not been educated and prepared for dumb moments like that, she would have been laying in the OR completely numb, being cut open instead of having her redemptive birth.
Yeah.
And that right there pisses me off so much because they will try to come at you through your partner.
Yeah, they
it's
will.
It's a part of the plan.
It's happened to me. I mean, that's when I told you about the coffee thing. Like my provider looked at me, my husband was like, you need to tell her to wake up and smell the coffee. It's going to happen for her. And she's putting this baby's life at risk. That's what he told her. Like, so naturally my husband's like, oh, babe, no, let's go to have a C-section. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, like, And then what happened to my body?
Bet your husband's regretting that now.
Oh yes, he did. And he's like,
in light of what you're doing for sure. Yeah.
Yes. He's so supportive and like looks back and I've educated him a lot and it's been so great to have him have a better understanding and be like, I'm really sorry at the same time. Like I didn't need him to say sorry, but it felt so good to have him say sorry. Mm-hmm. But this is a common thing and it sucks. It sucks so bad.
Well, it sucks too, because most people, when they hear this conversation we're having, thinks that we're exaggerating it.
I know. I know.
And it's not exaggerated.
No.
That is what is so maddening. Like the VBAC lab was born because of my DMs and what people were telling me. And I was hearing it from a different angle as a labor nurse and hearing how horrible. I mean, I already knew. I used to sit in my car crying after shifts like all the time, like snotty crying. I had 6 unmedicated deliveries. 3 were inductions. My first was not the best of births. It happened to me. Had every intervention known to man. But I literally don't know how I didn't let my jaw drop to the floor during some of the things I've heard. The things that I've heard providers say, you guys, are so unbelievable, but they happen. And they, and I was a travel nurse. I traveled all over the country. They happened at all the hospitals. Same. I mean, I don't know if they have a handbook in school. Like if this doesn't work, say this, because that will work.
I know.
Yeah. And it's like, I know in a lot of ways, like there's a lot of, I mean, the top lawsuits in healthcare are the emergency room and labor and delivery. So I know that they're also operating from a fear-based place. But again, let your body tell you what it can and can't do, not another person, you know?
Yeah.
If there's none of us, if we were constipated and someone was like, there's no way that poop's going to come out. You need to go to the hospital, get it cut out. We'd all be like, are you kidding right now?
You know, I have never even thought of that, but holy cow.
Right?
Yes.
Like, we don't doubt that we can't poop the poop we made out. We can push the baby
we can that do we that. Made
out. I know. I have very weird analogies.
But no, so do I. And like, so do I. And back when Julie and I would record, she'd like look at me and I'm like, I don't know. It's how it works in my brain. It just is how it works.
Mine too.
But so powerful to think of that like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are just maybe some things we need to do or time, letting it happen. And that's the hardest thing that I see in the medical world is time is not allowed. Mm-mm. Time is not given.
Because it's a dollar. It's a bed.
Yes.
They want that bed filled. They want you to deliver so that they put another mom in there. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want a bad outcome either. And they are worried about that. But it is like, that's why I love the documentary, The Business of Being Born, which fangirl moment. Ricky Lake DM'd me one time. I almost fell out of my chair.
What?
I literally almost fell out of my
chair. That is incredible.
I know. To anyone else, they'd be like, okay. But to me and to you,
big deal. That's a big deal.
And that is such what I love about The Business of Being Born is that her videographer ends up having an urgent C-section at the end. So what I love about it is there is a need for our interventions. And I'm so thankful that I'm trained and I know how to save you and baby, but only when it's needed is the point. And I tell my students all the time, we do not say yes to anything out of convenience or curiosity, because you have to understand when and why these interventions are necessary. You also have to learn to read the room and know, is this an emergent situation or is this a time where a wait is possible? And then take the wait.
Yeah. And, you know, something that you mentioned earlier that I think goes with this is when your provider sits down and they're so somber and all these things, and they're like, well, we just don't want it to become an emergency. When they say things like that, what do? We clench up, we get anxiety, right?
So what we hear is it's about to hit the fan.
It's about to hit the fan and we have to make a decision now instead of let's sit back, let's look at the alternatives.
She's also emotionally and physically drained at that point. She's been laboring. Yeah. And if we're not like building her up and affirming her, her energy is down. Her body is down. Like maybe she's been, you know, maybe she labored at home for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's at the end of the pregnancy. She hasn't had sleep. Her body hurts. Her butt hurts. Her boobs hurt. Mm-hmm. And then we tell her, if you keep doing this thing that is so hard, we might have a bad outcome.
Yeah. Again, and if we're saying those words hard, then it's like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And then it's hard. It just spirals. It's always that spiral. Yeah. We really could talk about this for a long time. And I know that we could share stories between labor and delivery nurse versus doula. I'm not a I always wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse, but right now I'm just a doula, which
don't
I think
say
is
just
not
a doula, just.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not just.
And then I was a doula for one of my doulas on my team, because I have two doulas on my team. She had a baby in May and I was her doula. And that's no joke.
It's a lot, but it's amazing.
As a labor nurse, I get to leave the room, have breaks, do things. I was like, this is so weird to me.
I bet. Yeah, it is. It is a lot. So I shouldn't say just, but I just feel like we could share so many stories of really necessary cesareans and unnecessary cesareans. All the
there
things.
Are.
There are.
I will say that in my opinion, the majority of the VBACs that end up a repeat cesarean are not because they were necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And again, I think it all comes back to mindset, because people can prep and have the education. It reminds me of your chair, right? Your stool. Like they're prepped, they have the education, they've said all the empowering things and they're there. It's there. But then they don't use their voice because they come in and they say things. And things are happening that were not what they wanted, but then they're now agreeing, which is okay. Sometimes things change. And like we were saying, the hell yes kicks in, but we're not using our voice when the hell yes isn't kicking in. We do it anyway. And then it happens to be a cesarean.
Well, and
sometimes.
It's a lot easier to hear you and I saying this manipulation, this coercion, and this bulliness happens while you're in your car driving to work listening to a podcast, but when you're laying in the bed, you hear your baby's heartbeat in the background, you see the look of concern, and the labor nurses are all standing behind the doctors. They're all standing up looking down at you. It's a big difference. And so that's where you just have to practice and practice. That's what I tell them, start speaking up early and often, like challenge a little, like build up that challenge nerve that you got in there.
Yep. You know? And you can start that prenatally. Yeah. I think that's really where that relationship. I mean. That's where that relationship starts. And, you know, I want to end with saying, you guys, we do not hate the medical system. We do not hate OBs.
I am the medical
system. We don't hate. That's not what we're trying to do. But we're talking about these anxieties that are created and how we can avoid them. And also know with, you know, certain situations, things happen like these scenarios that we're talking about today that may create anxiety that isn't necessary. And so navigating that, pulling the root, getting the education, the affirmations, you know, really manifesting it, and then using your voice is so, so important. So, okay, you have some workshops and then you have a freebie for us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we have a free workshop that we do that just, it's really short, really easy, that you can watch. And I give my best tips for having your easiest, smoothest delivery, because there's a lot of things that you do control, including your mindset. I'll give you the link. You can put it in your show notes, or they can find me on Instagram, labor.nurse.mama, and they can go to any of our, any posts and comment with the word faster, and they can watch that class.
Awesome. So, so awesome. Thank you so much again. It was absolutely delightful. You're incredible, doing so many amazing things for the birth community. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.